8 years after his death, James Brown is suddenly everywhere. Get On Up, a movie about the musician, was released this year. Three books were also published about his life. And on Monday, HBO debuts Mr. Dynamite, The Rise of James Brown, a documentary on his most successful years. NPR TV critic Eric Deggans says the film offers an admiring but unflinching look at one of music's most influential figures.
These days, James Brown is considered one of the primary architects of soul, R&B, rap, and funk music. A legend whose performances were so powerful, one of his many nicknames was Mr. Dynamite. Mr. Dynamite, The Rise of James Brown, traces the singer's career through the words of authors, musicians, and former employees. Rolling Stones frontman Mick Jagger, who produced HBO's documentary and the feature film on James Brown, also talks about his friend.
James Brown, he liked big bands, he liked a big horn section, and he liked instrumentals, he liked arranging, he liked to be a band leader.
But the film's most authoritative voices are the men and women who played in Brown's bands. Trombonist Fred Wesley, who eventually co-wrote hits like Hot Pants, was a hardcore jazz musician when he considered joining Brown's band in the 1960s.
I didn't even listen to James Brown. I used to hear him in the background screaming and carrying on, you know. In fact, me and my boys in Mobile, we used to call him a little screaming, hollering sissy, you know. And we just said that in passing, didn't even listen to what was happening.
Speaking to NPR one day after seeing a screening of Mr. Dynamite, Wesley was unapologetic about his tough comments in the film.
Oh, I have to tell it like it is, because it is what it is, you know. When I say that James Brown is the greatest entertainer of all time, he really is, you know. Well, not a nice person, though. You know, he's not a person you want to sit down and hang out with. In fact, he's the most boring person in the world, because all he talks about is himself, you know.
To hear more about the stories in Mr. Dynamite, I invited Wesley to sit down with his good friend Christian McBride at NPR's New York studios. McBride, who also appears in the film, is a superstar jazz bassist and host of the public radio program Jazz Night in America. In 2006, McBride once organized a jazz concert featuring Brown at the Hollywood Bowl. The two got along then, but McBride still remembers an earlier run-in with the singer, who criticized his first solo record.
When I got my first good cussing out from Mr. Brown, I don't know if you remember this, Fred, but I called you because I was so devastated. And, you know, James Brown said, "Son, you ain't got no talent. You can't play no bass." And I called Fred. I told him what happened. He said, "Oh, man, that happened to me every day."
HBO's Mr. Dynamite describes how Brown was abandoned as a kid by his father and mother, raised by an aunt in a whorehouse. After a stint in jail, he got together with longtime sideman Bobby Byrd and began developing his sound, progressing from segregated clubs on the Chitlin' circuit to crossover hits for white audiences. He had a soulful voice, amazing dance moves, and a tireless work ethic. But Wesley told McBride one of the keys to Brown's sound was picking the right musicians.
It was the individuals that were in the band,
right,
that made the music, you know. I mean, now James Brown was the one that made us play it. Now, he
right.
did make you play it.
Right.
But Jimmy Nolan had a style.
Right.
Pee Wee Ellis, I mean, all of these guys, it was like it was because of these individuals.
That's right.
The film also suggests that Brown's personal history made it tough for him to trust other people, especially musicians. McBride asked Wesley about that.
I remember reading or hearing you say somewhere that James Brown had a real tough time distinguishing someone being influenced by him as opposed to stealing from him.
That's true.
Wesley said Brown cloned songs he felt were based on his sound, including David Bowie's hit, Fame.
I would do everything he said, but when he asked me to copy... You remember
David Bowie.
David Bowie. You remember that?
Of course.
Yeah, he said, "Copy that." He said, "Yes, they copied me." Now, this morning I woke up all in heat.
Couldn't find no dry spot. Brown could also be abusive. In the documentary, drummer Melvin Parker talks about pulling a gun on Brown to stop him from hitting Parker's brother, Maceo. Then, Parker says this.
I really loved the guy, but I could never say to him, hey, man, I love you, man, because he had a way of taking advantage of that.
Never didn't love James Brown.
Leslie is a little skeptical of Parker's story.
It's impossible for Melvin to ever love James Brown. You know, you could appreciate him. You could admire him. I don't see how you could love him because he's a mean person. He's very mean, you know. Put your bad
self. Say it loud. By the late 1960s, Brown had become a strong voice on civil rights, writing songs about black pride. The film displays rare footage showing a crucial moment during a 1968 concert in Boston when Brown calmed the restless crowd after Martin Luther King Jr.'s assassination.
Now, I asked the police to step back because I figured I could get some respect for my own people. That makes sense. And are we together, Wayne? Get the thing, man.
Growing up in 1970s Philadelphia, McBride saw respect for Brown's leadership in his own home.
Particularly my parents' generation, James Brown was much more than just a vocalist. You know, I would hear them tell stories. They would save all of these old Jet and Ebony magazines. James Brown sighting. You know, James Brown spoke at this city council meeting. James Brown has this to say about schools.
The film doesn't show Brown's decline in later years, including arrests and jail time. And there are no interviews with family members who fought over his estate since his death in 2006. Wesley says the film's real value comes from showcasing Brown in his prime.
You saw James Brown doing some stuff that he hadn't done in years. You know, I tell people all the time, you have not seen James Brown until you see him really, really get down like he did in the 60s, you know?
Indeed, Mr. Dynamite is a fitting reminder of James Brown's power and influence, the story of an artist whose rise mirrored the journey of black America from segregation to success. I'm Eric Deggans.
Baby, give it up, turn it loose.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Greene.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.